Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. I'm Ray Hager, and today's guest, we have Trey Abney. He's the Director of Government Relations for the Chamber of Reno, Sparks, and Washoe County. We'll be talking about the Nevada Legislature. And on our pundit panel, we have Bob Barango and Don Tatro. That's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
Hi, welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. I'm Ray Hager, the host, and today's guest is Trey Abney. He's the Director of Government Relations for the Chamber of Reno, Sparks, and Washoe County. Welcome to you, Trey.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Trey, less than a month until the Nevada legislature.
I'm super excited about it. Yeah.
And so I wanted to just ask you about the legislature coming up. And, you look at some media reports, bill draft requests, and, it seems like, again, it's all about education and it's all about not having enough money to pay for it.
That's already the case. I've already set up my bill tracker. I'm tracking like 400 BDRs and bills already, a month out. Before it starts. Yeah, I mean, it's all about education funding, right? Apparently, after the largest tax increase in state history, we still don't have enough money for K-12 education, because there's already supposedly, you hear anywhere from a $400 to $800 million budget gap. I don't know what's true. Some of that's K-12. Some of that's the Medicaid roll-up dollars. The state really doesn't have anything to do with. We have more people eligible for Medicaid than apparently we thought. And the federal government is matching less of it year after year of Medicaid dollars, so we have to pay more for that. So there's already people talking about how we need to fully fund and properly fund K-12 education, which is what I thought we did last time, in 2015.
With the record tax increase, what was it, $1.4 billion?
Yeah, it's like $1.2 if you include, extending the MBT rates and the sales tax rates and all the other things that we did. It's about $1.2.
Well, one of the things that I find really interesting about this legislative session are the education savings accounts. Of course, that was the prime bill that the Republican-dominated legislature got passed last time. Of course, it met some legal troubles with the Nevada Supreme Court, so it has to be back on the docket to repass this time at the legislature. And a lot of Democrats say they're already opposed to it. The governor has put funding for the ESAs in his budget. So, what it looks like to me is that the ESAs are going to pass with some kind of compromise late in the session. What do you think about that?
And remember, the ESAs exist because that was what the Republicans in the Assembly got out of the governor and the legislature in order for them to vote for the commerce tax. That's why it's there. They said, we will vote for your commerce tax, governor, if you support the ESA. Because remember, the governor, the ESAs were never his deal. They were never his proposal. And so that's the deal that was made. And then, of course, you had all the court cases saying it's not unconstitutional, but you can't take money out of the distributive school account, et cetera, et cetera. So the governor has said he's going to fund and put in his budget. But, of course, none of us, we haven't seen that budget yet. And so the question is, how much money is he going to put into it? Is it going to be means tested, more limited, because there's only going to be a finite amount of resources? And where is he going to get that money? And of course, the Democrats argue, well, that money could go to mental health. It could go to K-12 education, other education needs. And so the Democrats, they kind of both sides have staked their flags in the sand, right? The Republicans saying, we have to keep this. And of course, they're putting pressure on through the Attorney General, through the Treasurer and Controller, and through parents and kind of that, grassroots pressure. And the Democrats are saying, no way, we don't like vouchers. And so the Democrats being in charge and being in the majority, right, have a lot of power to help or stop this thing altogether. So the question is, what will the Democrats demand? If the Democrats end up, and you have to have Democrat votes to do this, by the way, some. So what will the Democrats demand from the Republicans in order for them to go along with some type of ESA program?
Well, there you go. Trey, you're just opening up the door for a tax increase of some kind, it seems to me.
Well, yeah, but a tax increase, you're going to need a two-thirds vote, and nobody is really wanting to do that. But, you know, I don't know what kind of tax increase the Republicans would buy off on for ESAs. It remains to be seen. And then you have all this, you know, you have a battle brewing on higher ed funding as well. There are some people, former Truckee Meadows Community College President John Galtney has been very vocal about this, and you know John, Ray.
Right.
Talking about how are the community colleges funded at the appropriate level? If we're talking about workforce development, right, if that's our main need and we need a qualified and educated and trained workforce, we know that the vast majority of our workforce will – the only time they will ever be on UNR's campus is to go to a football or basketball game, right? Most of Tesla's employees, Switches, everybody else, Panasonic, whoever you're talking about, most of those employees are blue-collar, you know, community college-type workers. And so are the community colleges funded properly in relation to the universities? Because, you know, they've gotten cut a lot through the recession. And so you're going to see that kind of battle, I think, brewing either under the surface or above it. I'm not sure yet.
You know, I think like the two universities, University of Nevada in Reno and University of Nevada, Las Vegas, sometimes the leaders are almost brain dead is because, you know, both of them want to be this high caliber research institution.
Sure.
And they're going to fight about that in the legislature. And frankly, lawmakers have to decide who's going to be the research institution because Nevada is not a large enough state to fund two large research institutions.
Well, and that's the question, right? Plus fund all the workforce needs that we need through the community college system. Again, most of our workforce will go through the community college system, not the university system. So what is the right balance there? You certainly don't need a lot more political science majors running around.
Right,
I could tell
right,
you that.
That's
so,
for sure.
You know, you need engineers and folks that can work on factory lines.
Okay, Trey, let's wrap it up right here. Let's take a few minutes off for some very important words. We'll be right back with Trey Abney with the Reno Sparks Chamber of Commerce.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lorianne, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Okay, we're back with Nevada Newsmakers. I'm Ray Hager, standing in for Sam Shad, and our guest today is Trey Abney, the Director of Government Relations for the Chamber of Reno Sparks and Washoe County. Trey, we were talking about the 2017 legislature, and of course, what will be center stage will be the governor's proposed budget and the governor's proposed bills. And recently, Sandra Cherub of the Las Vegas Review-Journal wrote a story about the governor's agenda, culling the bill draft requests on the legislature's website. And, you know, some of the things that the governor plans to do is expand opportunities for high school students to take dual credit courses. He wants a regulatory body to push through applications of professional licenses from other states, so that way Nevada can get more doctors and dentists and even engineers. And he wants a PUC overhaul, which after, you know, the, well, just the, a lot of bad blood created there, and also this education savings account. So what do you think, Trey, about what's the governor's agenda going to be like? He's very, he keeps it close to the vest, and he won't reveal it until his State of the State speech in, later this month.
No, you're right, and it's a bold agenda, and it's his last session, right? So I think he wants to go out with a legacy, and it's certainly, if he had ended after 2015, he'd already have that legacy, I would argue. But, you know, we're being told it's definitely going to be, again, a workforce development slash higher ed session. Now, whatever that means, obviously some of those BDRs, you're already starting to see that, right? With you know, making sure that it's easy, you can transfer licenses across state lines, and making sure that that articulation between high school and community colleges and between community colleges and the university system is a more seamless process. You know, we've heard about sometimes it's difficult to transfer even between like TMCC and University of Nevada, Reno. For example, making sure that that's easier. So I think you'll see a lot about that. We're hearing, and we're not sure yet. In fact, the chamber, I'm going to put in a shameless plug here, but we're having our directions event on February 1st, and we're going to have the director of the governor's office of workforce innovation there. Because the idea, it sounds like, you remember, I think it was 2011, Ray, when they reorganized economic development in this state, right? And that's when Steve Hill came on board, and right, it created a cabinet level position.
Done a lot of good work.
Right. Kind of got, you know, got rid of those silos and made everything work together. It sounds like that's what they want to do with workforce development agencies and efforts in this state, is make that like a cabinet level position and do that the same kind of thing. So I think you're going to see that. And again, you're going to see them double down, I think, on education reforms. Make sure that you maintain the reforms that were so hard fought in 2015. In fact, I just saw a story today. Senator Mo Dennis and the Senate Democrats are looking to take away that achievement school district, which is that separate district that can take over failing public schools and turn them into charters. And, you know, there's already pushback against that. The governor's saying, hey, this has to work first. Let's make sure that, you know, it's been in place for less than a year. You know, let's make sure that it works. And so you're already going to see those fights to make sure they maintain and then find the funding in perpetuity for all these things.
You know, the thing about the achievement districts and the education savings account, it's almost, to me, now that the Democrats are back in power in both houses, both majorities, they're going to do as much as they can to undo what the Republicans did when they were in the majority in 2015. Do you see some of that? You know, we see it at the national level with how Republicans want to, you know, undo Obamacare, you know, so much. And it's almost at the state level, the Democrats want to undo the education reforms put in by the Republicans.
You know, I think they'll try. And of course, some of these reforms Democrats have been asking for years. So you're not going to see a wholesale assault on some of these things. They're going to try. But you remember, you have a governor with a veto pen, right? And if you remember the governor's first two sessions, he was 30, 40 something bills he vetoed, right? And so you can have that threat again. Of course, we know to override a veto takes 2/3, which you're never going to get. Right.
Unless the governor
session
was Jim Gibbons.
Exactly. Well, you got a few overrides there, and he had a lot of vetoes. So I think you're going to, and you, if you have people like A. Ron Ford and others, the Senate Majority Leader, who are going to want to run for statewide office, and they're going to want to run on accomplishments and achievements and working together with people. And so it doesn't do the Democrats or any majority party very well to create gridlock. Nobody wants it to be a Washington, D.C. like atmosphere in Carson City, right?
Right. You mentioned the Senate Majority Leader, Senator Ford. On a previous show, Seth Richardson from the RGJ mentioned that he might be a candidate for governor in 2018. What do you think, and who are the Republicans going to put up to?
Well, that's certainly an option. I think A. Ron Ford might run for attorney general in 2018. I think he would have a difficult time running a statewide race. Of course, he'd have to win a primary against probably Steve Sisolak to do that if he's running for governor. Because
right,
it looks like that Clark County Commissioner, Steve Sisolak, is looking like he's running for governor. You already have Senator Dean Heller saying he's going to stay and run for re-election to the U.S. Senate. I think you're looking at Attorney General Adam Laxalt looking probably potentially at the governor's race.
I think, right? So too, yeah.
Which opens up the AG's. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Mark Hutchison, Lieutenant Governor Mark Hutchison.
Well, that's just it. Does he want to, you know, is he looking at that, or does he want to stay Lieutenant Governor, or does he want to step away? You know, there's all kinds of, and then you have Dan Schwartz, you know, the treasurer making noise at this as well. The Republicans have a much deeper bench, I think, in 2018. That 2018 is going to be very interesting, and it's going to be, you're going to see more Republicans turn out, I think. It's
okay.
Going to be the opposite of this year.
All right. Well, we got to end it right there. Thank you, Trey Abney. And
thank you.
It was a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
Hi, we're back with our pundit panel on Nevada Newsmakers. First, let me introduce Don Tatro of the Builders Association of Northern Nevada.
Thanks.
Welcome to you, Don. And Bob Barango, the former Speaker of the Nevada Assembly. Bob, good to see you. Well, we were talking about the Nevada legislature coming up with Trey Abney. And one of the things that, you know, is always an issue other than education is money, because the governor has all these great plans, but he, you know, according to the Economic Forum, he's anywhere from $300 to $600 million below the budget request. So something's got to give, Bob.
Well, you said it, operative budget requests. So I mean, what are all the new programs that are going out there that are additional requests to go into this legislative process? I haven't seen those things, so I don't know, but that's requests. That's not actual dollars, as I see it.
Do you see a possibility that the governor could order all state agencies to maybe cut their budgets by maybe 2 to 3%? Do you think that's coming down the line?
I've also heard that there have been that they have been requested to do that, so I don't understand where this difference is. They have been asked to cut their budget requests.
Right. Well, there always seems.
Crucial.
Yeah. It just, there's never enough money for anything, Don. Even if we pass the state's largest tax hike, which we did in the last session, what do you think about taxes? Do you think taxes, increased taxes, will be on the table at all? Because we do have, you know, majorities of Democrats in both the House and the state Senate, the House, of course, I mean the Assembly. What do you think about any tax increase?
I think they're always on the table, and looking at the dynamic this year, yeah, there's some, like you said, different competing priorities. One of the ones that I've heard floated around is a look at our property tax system, and it's a pretty antiquated system that we have here in the state of Nevada, so there could be some appetite to look into that. But I think there's tax fatigue. I don't know that you'll see either party want to jump out and increase taxes. But I don't know what priorities you're willing to compromise in the 11th hour to get your budget balanced.
You know, what about the 3% cap on property taxes? Remember when that went in? It had to be 5-6 years ago. It was still when Townsend and Raggio were in. Is that Bob, do you know, where does that stand?
Well, that's still there.
So could they remove that cap?
They can.
I think what they're looking at. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
They're looking at now is that, what most people don't know about is the secondary calculation underneath that that goes to a 10-year average or CPI, whichever is lower. So, and I'm not a tax expert, but essentially what you're doing is instead of 3% this year, we got a 2.9% increase, a 0.29% increase. So you're having to fund your local governments on recession budgets. And they're not able to capture the revenue, even at that 3 or 8%.
Okay, Bob, did you want to
say? Well, what I'd like to say is that the tax, the way your property tax is calculated now, goes back to the 79 legislative session, which was meant for a specific program, and it should have been changed later on, and it never was. We need to go back to the actual cash value of the property. That's, now we do not have a full cash value. We have a land valuation and a house valuation, and you put them together to get your taxes. That's why in Washoe County we had all these lawsuits in Incline and everywhere else. If you went to an actual cash value, a lot of these problems would go away, and the funding would be better.
Well, it sounds good, but it also sounds like it would be so difficult to get through legislature.
It's a complicated process because you've got to go through every single tax district and all the water districts and all the rest of these things and make sure that they all come out getting the money they need. But that would save untold problems going forward.
Well, maybe someone will have a bill draft request for that. Who knows? Don, I want to ask you about the education savings accounts. Of course, they were passed by the Republican legislature in 2015. They hit some legal issues. It has to come back for 2017. Democrats are opposed. But funding for the ESA is in Governor Sandoval's proposed budget, according to some reports. We haven't seen the budget yet, but what do you think about the ESAs?
Well, I think, personally, I'm up for, we need to look at something in our education system that's what we've done in the past isn't working. So it's time to look for fresh ideas. But it's clear that the Democrats are opposed to this. Governor Sandoval's made it a priority, so we're hearing. So what are they willing to compromise on each side? Who's going to get what? That's the horse trading that's really the sausage making of the entire process that we'll see, late May.
Do you, either one of you gentlemen, see the ESAs becoming more palatable for Democrats if there's something in there to disallow wealthy people or people with means to access the ESAs?
Well, from a Democratic point of view, that's probably something they would like better than what it is now. But across the board, I don't know why you should deny anybody an ability to save some money if they would like to try to do that.
Okay. Don, your take.
Yeah, I think that that probably would make it a little more palatable. But again, I think of how hard and how opposed their supporters are to it and their willingness to get some, if they're able to compromise and get something else.
Okay. That will, more to this story as we move on. Thank you, gentlemen, for coming in today.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group customer care team brings you effective risk management training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Thanks for listening. On our next broadcast, we'll have reporter Anjanette Gaiman of the Reno Gazette Journal. She is covering the Andrew Klinger investigation at Reno City Hall. And our pundits will have Dory Guy, Chris Wicker, and Sam Kumar. That's all coming up on our next broadcast of Nevada Newsmakers.